jump right in this. Father, y'all, we bless you on today, and we thank you for just the opportunity to get into your presence. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to reveal to us in your word. We just seek wisdom and understanding. And we bless you in advance. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to share some things with you from a perspective of some experiences that I've had with leaders. That's the best way I can explain it. And when I'm talking about leaders, I'm talking about pastors and different things like this. And it's not to criticize or to come across as thinking highly of ourselves as we ought to. But at the same time, it's something that we need to understand. And from coming into I think it's something that we understand, but I think we need to come into a clearer understanding of it so that we'll be able to handle it as Yah is completing things with us, as far as our project is concerned.
I pray, Yah, pray.
And so there are some, the thing that I've been experiencing, and we're going to be coming to Galatians chapter 2, and Elder, just do how you do and flow as you see fit. Main two verses I want to focus on is verse 6 and 7. And so you can kind of jump ahead of us and look at it and see where you want to go from there in looking at those two verses. So that's what we're going to mainly concentrate on. But I've been running into a lot of leaders who have been teaching doctrine, things that they call revelation, that is a great cause for concern. And the reason why, and I'm going to give y'all some examples, let me just kind of lay in the foundation. And the reason why it's caused some concerns is because these people are leading people. And I'll give you an example of some of the things that I've experienced. And maybe, if you come across some things, I mean, you can share even your experiences in those areas. I'm going to pull up another scripture here just to give you an example of this here. And if y'all lead me to other scriptures, then I'll show you that those verses also. It's in chapter 3. We're going to finish up in Galatians 2. We'll read Galatians 2, 6 and 7 first, and then we'll move into other verses to kind of lay the foundation of this. It's Paul dealing with some things. And I'm just going to just read verse 6. I just go to verse 1. Verse 1 says, Galatians 2, verse 1 says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation. Okay, now we're going to look at the word revelation because, see why Spirit of Yah wants to talk that. Because when you look at revelation, it says disclosure, appearing, coming, light, manifestation, be revealed. And so what I'm running into is a lot of preachers who believe that they're speaking revelations of Christ, revelations of the kingdom of Yah. And so these things that they're saying, they're calling the revelation. And man, I mean, y'all got to be really, really dealing with you to show you this kind of stuff. And I'm going to stop right there, and then I'll come on the end of that to address that. Now, again, as you see the word revelation, it means disclosure, appearing, coming. One of the main ones is manifestation, be revealed. So if it's being revealed, there's a source. There's a source that's revealing it. And so obviously, since the spirit of Yah, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, the breath of Yah, the spirit of Yah. I'll make sure I don't hang up so somebody has something to say something. And so, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah. God breathed, Yah breathed, which is the breath of Yah. Also, that is one and the same as the Spirit. All scripture is given by the Spirit of Yah. So the Spirit reveals things. But here's the important key. The Spirit reveals things that was been said. Okay, Christ explained to the disciples that I go away. I'll go to John 4, 14. I believe it's John 14. And we'll come back to Genesis 3. I think it's John 14. Okay, John 14, verse 26. I'll start at verse 25. John 14, verse 25 says, "These things have I spoken unto you," Christ speaking to the apostles, the disciples. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter," explains who the Comforter is. The Comforter, it says, which is, it's italicized, so it should be there. So, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, so we know the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. When we look at the word Comforter, it means consoler, advocate. Okay? So, when we're dealing with the word advocate, we know that we have someone who is, when I'm an advocate, I'm speaking on somebody's behalf or something along those lines. So it says, "But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." So as we look to the right of the screen now, and we see verse 2, "And I went up by revelation." So I want to get a clear understanding of what revelation is. And we see manifestation, okay, reveal, okay. Now, when you look at verse 26 to the left on the screen, it says, "But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you." Let's look at the word teach, okay. He will teach to learn. Okay, so basically in a nutshell, he would teach. So with his perspective of teaching, we're learning, okay? So I just want to make sure it wasn't something else. So he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So what Christ is letting the disciples know is that when the Holy Ghost brings things, when we're getting revelation in the Scripture, he brings things to remembrance of what's already been said. So if what's being said is not in the Scripture, it's not the revelation of Yah. It's not the revelation of Christ. Okay? And so, remember, as I said earlier, there are these leaders who are always getting these revelations. It's like everybody's looking for a revelation, something that somebody else had taught. And that's not something we should be doing. We should be finding common ground instead of everybody coming up with these revelations. Because since or if it's the same Spirit, then we should be having things talk to us and reveal by the Spirit what has already been said. But thus, when you hear us teach, we're teaching from a perspective of revelation by what's been said. So that's why we use scriptures, and we show you that these things are said in the Scripture, and we don't have a revelation apart from the Scripture. Elder has no revelation apart from the Scripture. I have no revelation apart from the Scripture. I have no revelation apart from what's already been said. And so when leaders have a revelation, and if they cannot find that revelation in the scripture, it has to be thrown away. A revelation apart from the written is false doctrine. Okay? So as we look here, the level of strength, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father was sent in my name, the Father said, that's why the Holy Ghost comes from the Father. It is the breath of Yah. It is the breath of Yah. It comes from the Father. He will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Holy Ghost ain't giving us some revelation Christ hasn't said. Holy Ghost is not giving us some revelation the apostles have not said. Holy Ghost is not giving us any revelation that the prophets have not said. The Holy Ghost is not giving us any revelation that the Psalms have not said. The law, the Psalms, the prophets, the apostles, Christ. The Holy Ghost is not giving us any revelation apart from what's already been said. But yet all these revelations are coming about. Now, I give you an example of one such revelation, and it's going to blow your mind, because it blew mine. I was like, yeah, I'm just not even going to say nothing to you. yesterday we talked about this a little bit, and the thing that you said, I hope you remember. You'll remember as we get there. You know, I kind of jump out there sometimes and yank you out there, but you always catch it with me. So Galatians 3, when we talking about the fruit on yesterday. And how we expose the doctrine as a lie. And it'll come to you as we read the verse. I'm just kind of getting you geared for it. And you'll understand once we get there. Now, Galatians 3 verse 1 says, now the serpent was more forceful than any beast of the field.
Oh,
okay. Which Yah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, as Yah said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So this is talking about every tree of the garden. Show you how these revelations come by men. So we see it in the scripture that this tree is of the garden, and it is a tree. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit. Okay? The fruit of the what? Trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The revelation that a leader gave me concerning the fruit was that the fruit is the womb of the woman. He was like, well, yeah, you know how man always think that that was a fruit that was on a tree, but that was the fruit of the woman gave him that fruit. And I was like, and I was like, what is that written? What is it? This is what I'm saying to myself. Y'all saying, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. I'm not going to let you say nothing. In other words, when you run in a babe, you can't just throw it all down his mouth or her mouth or whatever. Sometimes you have to give them little crumbs at a time. As y'all gave you precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Yah spoon fed us, and we kept eating right, we kept growing, and now we chew on strong meat, but he's still feeding us bits and pieces as we understand. But the issue is, you have a lot of people who get in the scripture, and they're not seeking to be led by the Spirit. They're looking for something according to their own wisdom. As with Peter speaks out, which is ignorance I'm trying to think of the term that he uses. Peter 1 and 20. I'll put it up here. Just trying to figure it out. I just threw up another scripture. And so the revelation that this leader had was that that fruit was the womb of a woman. And you know what I'm talking about when I say the womb of a woman. You know, I'm just doing a little sugar coat on it. But it left me dumbfounded that someone would be leading people and having that kind of that kind of revelation. Where is it found? It may be 2 Peter. I'm going in 1st and 2nd, I believe. 2nd, I think it's 2 Peter 1. Yeah. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of it in private interpretation. Idios. When you look at private interpretation, in other words, let's just look at the word. Let me slow down. So when you look at private interpretation, private here is idiom. It's of one own by implication, private or separate. We are coming across people who have their private interpretation of the scripture, and Yah is letting us know that that's not revelation. That's idiotic. That's idiom. No private interpretation. Explanation. In other words, when I explain something, you know I always say this. Anytime you hear somebody say, "Well, this is my revelation of what I interpret," okay, I start getting nervous then, because I only want to interpret what has already been said. I want to be able to interpret what I'm saying according to Scripture, not according to what I think that it says. And so as we look at it here, and we'll go back, it says again, it says for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yah spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God breathed. Thus, when we go back now, and we look at what Christ said, I'll pull it up again. I just pull up another Bible. When we look at what Christ said in John 14, and so it's being confirmed here. I'm going to go forward to Peter again just to show you that the scripture is confirming itself, precept. What's that, Peter? The scripture is confirming itself precept upon precept, line upon line. And so John 14 again, verse 16, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is doing it, bringing everything to remembrance, to confirm what 2 Peter is saying. For the prophet came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yah spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the same Holy Ghost in John 14 moved up on prophets of old. And ain't nothing changed. When you look at verse 20, knowing this first, there's no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. You can go back to Genesis when Moses wrote all the way up to Revelation, and there is no revelation that was not given or revealed by the Holy Ghost that is not confirmed in the scripture by the men that he revealed it to. That's how we know it's true. But then you get this stuff that's going on, man, and this woman now in Genesis, instead of it being a fruit of the tree, which is plainly said, this now done turned into some kind of perverted sex act. This is the kind of stuff. They tell you the session was perverted. Try again. Oh, this. Try again. Okay. So are we good?
I don't know.
Okay. No, I don't think it's still recording. Yeah, it's still. So we'll pull it up again or just leave it and save it.
Just pull it up again. Okay. For the people that you got to do it for everybody else to be able to see.
I went blank on what I got to do. Right here on the start meeting.
Yeah,
I'll grab with us. Okay. Hidden Red Card again?
Yeah, and share the screen too. Hit the share button.
I am?
Yeah. And you select all.
Okay. All right. We apologize for internet kind of tripping because we on uncovering some stuff. So so as we see it here again, we're looking at an example of someone because of this private interpretation taking the fruit that's clearly from a tree and making it now a fruit that the woman is eating and giving to her man to eat to be the fruit that's between that woman's legs. This is the kind of stuff that's out there. There is another individual that always come across like there's revelation, but this individual sees Jesus in everything. He's in the wheel. He's in the wind. He's in the this. He's into that. Everything, Jesus is in everything. Now, he can be found in the law. He can be found in the prophets. He can be found in the Psalms. He can be found in the New Testament. But he's not found in everything that is in every verse according to everything that you see. When you're looking at Ezekiel, who saw a wheel in the middle of a wheel, well, that's Jesus. Everything is Jesus. And I'm like, man, if the scriptures is not confirming what you're saying, then the Holy Ghost is not revealing it to you. That is an idiotic revelation that you come up with that you now want to teach it as doctrine, and people who don't know how to rightly divide the word is going ooh and ah because it's something they've never heard before. You know, I'd rather bore you with the scriptures and let you see the same scriptures over and over if you're bored with it than to turn around and give you some revelation that I cannot even bag up with the scriptures. And so these are the type of things that are going on. And this is what we have to be bold enough and led enough by the Spirit of Yah to be able to deal with this from this perspective, to say, look, if the revelation you have, according to John 14, middle of the screen, verse 26, if the Holy Ghost is revealing this to you, then he should be revealing to you what Christ has already said. If Christ hasn't said it, when? Tell me when in the scripture did Christ talk about go get your houses and your money and your cars and all this here. There ain't no revelation. That is a private interpretation of the scripture, and I'll show you where this kind of stuff come from. I believe it's Luke, Mark 4. I'm just showing you these things. So you go to Mark 4, verse 13. I think it's verse 13. 14. Mark 4, verse 14, it says, as the sower sow the word, then it starts to give the types of ground. I'm not going to spend a whole long time talking about the different ground. Just read verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Now, clearly, it is the word. So you're taking an individual who see because it says word here, and they'll say any word. Money is a word. So if you sow money and you ground, that can receive a harvest. This is the kind of stuff that's out there. Money is a word. This is a word. That is a word. And it's all these catchwords to teach these false doctrines. Well, we understand that the word is talking about the logos. It's talking about the scripture. It ain't talking about nothing else. The source sold a word, the logo, something said. The topic, this course. And so when you look at it from a perspective of as you continue to go down, it says divine expression. Christ. The source sold the word. This is talking about kingdom stuff. This ain't talking about any kind of word that you can now add to verse 14. You can now start to add all these other verses in here to complete a doctrine that people have come up with. So he'll said, the sower sow the word. The word is money. Then the sower sow money. And these are the type of grounds. So if your money ain't coming back to you, then it must mean that you ain't believing and standing on the word. They use verse 15, 16, and 17. You ain't got no root in you. That's why you ain't getting no harvest on your money. Because see, you sold your money in that bucket. And since you sold your money in that bucket, something has to be wrong with you as the ground. Well, wait a minute, I sold it in the bucket, so the bucket went in your ground. Just throwing things out to show you how these doctrines are being taught and it's causing confusion and people are getting disappointed because these little catchphrase doctrines are not making sense and they're not the truth and therefore Yah is not manifesting things based upon these doctrines, and people are getting disappointed and they're leaving the church. Or coming out of Babylon, I like to say. So we have to make sure that we're getting ready. We got to get ready for what Yah is doing in the earth in these last days, and we got to do just like John 14, verse 26. We got to teach what has already been said. That's why you hear me say all the time, I don't teach nothing but the apostles' doctrine. If they not saying it, I'm not saying it. Because if they saying it, that means the prophet before them said it. That means the Psalms, the book of Psalms said it. That means, the law said it. And so if they're not talking about it, I am not going to teach it. And there are other books out there. Book of Jasher and different things like that. There are a lot of things that people use and they say it in scripture and things like that. I know the book of Jasher is mentioned in scripture, but I don't take all of the book of Jasher. I just go in there in the book of Jasher where it says, and that's where I say, well, okay, it was mentioned, and so that's the only thing I'm looking for when I go to the book of Jasher. I don't go to the book of Jasher to find out what the scriptures have said. And so I look at it from this standpoint. I say, okay, Yah gave the law to Moses. And since Yah gave the law to Moses, Yah wrote that law. He wrote a lot of things on the stone. It wasn't just, I know you had the Ten Commandments and things like that. But Yah gave laws to Moses. And you mean to tell me he gave it to Moses? And Moses couldn't finish things. Yah was like, I'm going to give this to you, Moses. But I'm going to jump over here in the book of Jasher and explain what I didn't explain to Moses. Those things don't make sense to me. And so you can go to Genesis. I'll use an example. You can go to Genesis where it talks about and Noah woke up and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Well, the book of Jasher tell you what the younger son done. Now, my deal is, if Yah gave that to Moses, then why couldn't he tell through Moses what he had done? And if he wanted to reveal it, why he wrote certain things and gave it to Moses? And then there were certain things Moses wrote. And so I'm like, okay, why do you have to go to another book to find out this information, but none of the other prophets are talking about it? But yet, when you look at the consistency, when it's the Holy Ghost, it is confirmed by the law, it is confirmed by the prophets, it is confirmed by the Psalms, and it's also confirmed by the apostles. All of them are saying the same thing, but when you get in these other kind of books, it's adding stuff to the scriptures that's not being said by none of the prophets. Those are problems that I have with these type of books. Yeah, it may be something that's adding into it, and it may make sense when you look at it, but at the same time, it is not something that I can stand on because it's not enough people that's communicating that same information. Thus, we go back now to Galatians chapter 2, where Paul was dealing with this. Again, he said, I went about revelation, Galatians 2, verse 2, and I went about revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, Paul in a nutshell was saying, okay, we start, I'm just paraphrasing, we were checking each other's information because I didn't want to be running with this information and come to the conclusion that, you know, come to realize that I read it all for nothing. I've got all this revelation and it's for nothing. So Paul said, when we came, we met privately to sit down and to discuss these things so that we could all be on the same page, because I'm not trying to run this thing and run it in vain. I don't want to have all these revelations. Yeah, when it was a fruit in the garden, yeah, it wasn't the fruit that it was picked. She didn't give him no fruit off the tree. She gave him another kind of fruit. You know what that kind of fruit is? I'm looking like, no, I don't know what that kind of fruit is. It's there three in my book. Now, Elder, what did you say along those lines when I told you that? I can't remember how you put it, but
I said a couple of things. I was like, that doctrine don't make sense, because prior to that, God clearly gives the command for them to be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was forbidden fruit, why would before that he already give the command to say be fruitful and multiply? That
right.
Don't make sense.
He tells them not to touch the fruit that's in the midst of the garden.
Right.
So if he tells them again to be fruitful and multiply, and to fill the earth, why would he turn around and now say that fruit that you talking about that he ate of, it was forbidden? Again, that don't make sense. And when we are led by the Spirit and know what the Scripture says, then it is those type of things that we can see clearly. Man, that just ain't the truth. That don't make no sense. And I think it was another one that you made too. I can't remember.
I think I had said. But it was a different fruit. So I think I had said, you know, you know, the fiery sword that was supposed to go back to
right.
To protect.
Right. Once they were
okay.
Kicked out of the garden, then an angel was put there with a sword going in a direction.
What was it protecting?
Yeah, what was it? In other words, if that was the fruit that comes from the woman, okay, then what the angel doing with the fiery sword outside I'm going to show you. Just to show you how, when they're just common sense things, from the Scripture. Now,
but even when you think about it from just logic perspective, with that philosophy, where he just created Adam and Eve and designed them with reproductive organs with the intent to never use them ever, that don't even make sense if you don't think about it logically.
None whatsoever. Now, the Scripture Elder's talking about is Genesis 3, verse 23 and 24. It says, Therefore Yah God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim. These are angels. Okay? And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is a tree of life. So if this is the tree of life, the fruit that she picked off of the tree, and if that was actually her, then why? Verse 23 and 24, or mainly 24, should not even be him. We should just take 24 and just throw it out, since that is the fruit. Since that was the real fruit. And I'm sitting there looking like, oh my God, and this is someone who is leading multiple churches. And this is the kind of stuff that's being taught to leaders. Now, that revelation that Elder just said was not idiotic, because he was able to give a revelation of a truth based upon what he knows that's already written in the Scripture. The Holy Ghost inspired him to say, no, that don't make no sense, because it's such and such.
Yeah, prior to it, in 1:22, and tell them to be fruitful and multiply.
That's revelation, because he's not making that assumption on his own thinking. He's making a factual statement because it's already been laid out and written by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, let me remind him of what's already been written. Thus he said, no, that don't make no sense. Remember that angel? That angel and that flaming sword that was basically going in every direction to keep anyone from coming near that tree? Then that don't make sense with what he just said. Now, anybody who's being led by the Holy Ghost will say, no, there's something wrong with that. But if you sit there and be like, yeah, man, that's deep, ain't it? Yeah, but that's way too deep for me. I can't swim that kind of water. Well, I was drowning when you gave that revelation, because, man, that's way too deep for me. Because it's a lie. But that's what's going on. And we have to make sure that as we get in the scripture, there is no private interpretation. Let the scripture interpret itself by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And this is what Paul is doing. And when you see as Paul, when Paul got with it, when they had this meeting, it'll bring you a clearer understanding of what's going on with the gospel, to know that you don't preach the same gospel to everybody, per se. We'll look at it in these verses and show you this. Now, verse 6 says, but of these, well, I'm going to go back up. Verse 2 again, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul was like, I want to check to make sure I'm doing this right by leading up the Spirit of God, so we want to come together and sit down and talk about it. You know, it's a dangerous thing when you're the only one getting that revelation. If I'm getting a revelation and I sit down and talk to the elder about it, and he's like, man, I ain't seen it. I'm going to sit there and go, okay, wait a minute, we need to figure this out. Let's both sit down and look at this. Okay? You had something?
Just saying
it's vice versa. Yeah, vice versa. Yeah, it is that way. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek. See, Titus was a Greek, okay? Titus was not an Israelite. Being a Greek was some failed to be circumcised, because remember, in Acts 15, they discussed that. And they decided that the Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised because under the law, the nation of Israel was circumcised. So based upon the gospel to the Gentile and the Jew, you don't go and tell a Jew that you don't have to be circumcised. Because according to the law, that is the law to the Jew, that he has to be circumcised. So you don't preach that gospel to a Jew. So that's what is going on. So that's why I was saying different gospels, so to speak. I can tell a Gentile that you're righteous by the blood of Christ, and you don't have to be circumcised. But I can tell an Israelite you're righteous because of Christ, but at the same time, you still have to follow the law that's been given to you as a nation and be circumcised. Same message, but I'm dealing with a different category, and I'm not going to tell them that you have to be circumcised to be saved. Because you had just, remember, you had the nation of Israel say you had to be circumcised to be saved, and then you had Paul saying to the Gentiles, no, you don't. No, you don't. You're not righteous because of the law. Paul was preaching the truth. And that same truth could be said to the Jew also. But at the same time, you don't tell him, just don't worry about being circumcised now. Because that's the custom of the nation of Israel that was given to us by Yah when he gave us the law. Okay? You see that conversation in Acts 15, we dealt with that a lot. And so, again, verse 6, he says, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ. that they might bring us into bondage. They were trying to say, no, you got to be circumcised to be right in right standing with God. You had the nation of Israel or Jews who were coming to the Gentiles, and in Acts 15 is where that was discussed. You got to be circumcised to be in right standing. Well, that's not the revelation of Christ. So that's what Paul is dealing with now. Verse 5 says, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with us. So that's what he's saying. We spent a lot of time with this because we wanted truth. Very few preachers want truth. They just want to preach something that sounds good enough to come across as them knowing something more than somebody else. All I care about is the truth. All we care about here is the truth. We just want to give you the truth. And the only way to give you the truth, it has to be precept upon precept, line upon line. It has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, revelation by the Holy Ghost, and what Christ said in John 14, what has been said unto you. I mean, you need to be able to find it somewhere. So when I go in the book of Jasher, I better find it in the scripture. I ain't going to preach it. When I go in the apocryphal book or any other book, if I can't find the same conversation going on between all the prophets, like any of them, you read these other scriptures here, if I can't find it all within the same band of conversation, like Paul is saying, if when we sit down and we look at it, all of us together, if we all not talking about it, then somebody's sneaking in unaware, trying to sow in some doctrine that does not belong in the scripture. And that's what they've been doing in a lot of these books. Okay. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Paul's like, I'm not impressed with position. It says, y'all accepted no man's person. Y'all don't look at me no greater than elder. He don't look at elder no greater than I am. He don't look at me no greater than you. He don't look at you no greater than I am. Y'all is no respect of person. All of us have gifts and callings, but when it all comes down to it, we're all the children of Yah. Okay. He says, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, he said, they didn't add nothing to my doctrine. In other words, we were all in truth together. Can't add nothing to truth. Truth is that truth. So if I jump over in Genesis now and start talking about the fruit that's of the tree in the garden, and it's contrary to what Genesis is saying, that's not truth. We're going to have a problem. We all need to be able to sit down, look at Genesis 3, and look at that fruit that's of the tree of the garden, and know that's what that is. That's a fruit that's in a tree. It ain't a fruit between some woman's lips. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Yah accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in comfort added nothing to me. But contrarywise, you see the colon there, he said, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed, was unto Peter, it's the same gospel, but it's to sets of people. So I don't go preach everything to a Gentile that I would preach to an Israelite. There are some things I will say to Israelites that I won't say to Gentiles. There are some things I'll say to Gentiles that I won't say to Israelites. Because I know that don't apply to a Gentile the same way as some things that apply to a Gentile doesn't apply to Israelites. People need to understand that. So I'll tell an Israelite, okay, look, There are certain things that you can't do according to the law. But if that Gentile want to go do that, that's a Gentile business. Because there is no law here that doesn't require him to do certain things. There's a different class of people that I would tell them to do things, and then other ones I wouldn't tell them that they couldn't do it or to do it. Now, if you wanna come in and be joined to us as a nation of people, then there are certain things you want to do just like we do it. Okay? And so that has to be understood. There was a gospel of the uncircumcision, and there was a gospel of the circumcision. That's why when you get on to Hebrews 11, he ain't talking to no Gentile. I mean, not Hebrews 11, I believe, where he's talking about, I'm trying to think it's Hebrews chapter 1, I may have to find it, where he's saying in a nutshell that that the circumcision of the heart. Steve, you hear me find it? No, I won't look for it before. We're talking about circumcision of the heart. So you will get Gentiles that will read that, and they'll think that a Jew is someone who's circumcision of the heart. So they say you can become a Jew or an Israelite by your heart being circumcised. That's the spirit of Israel doctrine. That's talking to the Hebrews. And so when you look at it being taught to the Hebrews, that specific passage is telling the Jew that you're not a Jew because you're a Jew by bloodline. It doesn't make you right with Yah just because you're a Jew by bloodline, but it makes you right with Yah because your heart has been circumcised, your mind being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got a whole lot of Jews or Israelites who are not going to make it in because they refuse to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans 2. Romans 2:25-29. You get people that will use this. I say Hebrews, it's wrong. You'll get people that will use this, and they will conclude that this is saying this specific information to a Gentile. So 25. Okay, Romans 2 verse 25 says, verily profit, if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Question mark. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doeth transgress the law. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. See, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. : Stop the thought. Neither is a circumcised, which is one outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew. See, you stop the thought. He's not talking to this. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Stop the thought. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward of the flesh. So who he's talking about? Jew. He's talking about Jew. He's talking to Gentile. So he's letting you know, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. A Jew outwardly is one who is bloodline. Okay? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. How see Jew? Jew? You're not a Jew just because you circumcised. That's what he's saying.
Transgress the law.
Yes. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Stop. This is talking to a Jew. About a Jew. neither is that circumcision which is outward of the flesh. Semicolon. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Verse 28 and 29 is talking about a Jew. It is not talking to a Gentile. But you will get people who will read that, and because it's in Romans and they don't understand the contextual meaning, they will say, see there, you a Jew if you circumcised of the heart. So I'm spiritual Israel. Ain't no such thing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit does not reveal that in Scripture that there is a spiritual Israel. But I can show, go ahead and show you one Scripture after another that tells a Jew that he doesn't become righteous because he's a Jew. That's why the Scripture said, not everyone that came out of Israel, left Egypt. Because some men's mind was still there. They still had the bondage mindset of and the idol worshiping of an Egyptian. So when they came out of Egypt, they still had that mindset. So although they were in the wilderness, they were still in Egypt in their mind. Thus, they had to die in the wilderness. And so that's how we interpret these scriptures, and we don't come to our own idiotic conclusion. Because again, verse 28 clearly, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. We know this is talking about circumcision, because as you look at verse 26 is talking about uncircumcision and circumcision. So as it goes into verse 27, it is still dealing with it. Who by the letter and circumcision do transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Stop the thought. Oh, I'm not a Jew which is one outwardly. Okay, so what is it saying to me? It's saying I'm not a Jew just because I'm a Jew by bloodline. I am classified as a Jew who is a Jew and heart has been circumcised through the election of grace. That's why I point out the election of grace. You have three elects. You remember as we discussed that? You have the elect of Israel. You have the elect of Israel according to grace, those who are followers of Christ. Then you have the elect as far as the election of grace as far as the Gentiles are concerned. We got to know who's doing the talking. If not, it'll be Revelation. You got Gentiles, and they're talking about they spiritual Jews. And you got Gentiles talking about the church of Israel and all those kind of things, all because they misinterpret the scripture and don't allow the spirit to reveal what's already been said. Okay? And these are things, y'all, that we're going to start to see more and more. The facility that Yah is blessing us with, it is going to be a training facility to teach leaders and to get people prepared who have a willing heart and who want to all be on the same page, as Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 6 and 7. Want to be on the same page and make sure we're not running this race in vain. I don't want you running this in vain because you don't understand the truth. In all this time, we've been doing all these different things. You know, I mean, people, I just thought this, so I have to say it. Yeah, you know, sometimes I go on Facebook and I'm going to say something goofy, y'all know who I am. Sometimes I go on Facebook and I suppress me on that, you know, clicking here three times and go out of your mailbox, it's $1 million waiting on you. Everybody clicking heels and they ain't got number four heels. All because that's not written, but it sounds good if people implement it.
So won't implement the truth.
Well, we know what the issue is. We know we got an answer for that too. as we're on the verge of closing, this is what that problem is, and this is why they don't want to implement the truth. It says, verse 3, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, that's the same perspective. When you look at verse 3, own lust, idiom. So when you look at 1 Peter, I want you to see this, and we'll close right here. 2 Peter. Keep on calling it 1 Peter. When you look at 2 Peter, look at what it calls private interpretation is idiom. Same thing. This is how we write and divide the scripture. So it says no scriptures of any private interpretation. So the word private interpretation and what verse was it? Their own lust. Own lust is idiom. So what the scripture is really saying, people in the last days will see preachers who interpretate things from their own perspective. So their own lust don't mean that they're necessarily, you know, from a perspective of when we look at lust in America, it is pointing out that in the last days, people will seek out the preachers who have private interpretations. We're in the last days, y'all. Okay, which verse?
Right after.
Okay. Is that Timothy 4?
No, in the interlineals.
Okay.
So, idios is for own.
Right. Interlineal, own lust,
yes.
Longing for what is forbidden. So, when you look at, it says, what is that? Desire, own desire. And so it's the same perspective. So it's letting you know that when an individual gives you a private interpretation, it runs in the vein of own lust or idiotic. It is someone who is giving you what they desire to give you. It's an idiotic desire. I'm not going to teach you the truth. I'm going to teach you what I desire. And the people who go after this saying, I'm going after this because it is what I desire too. Thus they don't want the truth, as we as you mentioned, said, and they'll reject the truth. Because everyone in these last days, that is a sign that we're in the last days. Preachers will preach an idiotic, own interpretation doctrine, and people will seek that information. That's why you have churches full when that type of information is being preached. They will pack a church wall to wall. And the scripture now fulfills and saying, wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. I get scared when I go in a place and see large crowds. I be like, okay, good chance we finna hear some own interpretations today. And so this is what...
I mean, even when you look at the examples throughout all scripture, when you have somebody that's truly lined up, what the scripture has to say, people run from that.
Yeah.
Whether that's Israel stoning the prophet,
mm-hmm.
whether that's Pharisees plotting against Christ,
mm-hmm.
whether that's, you know, the Israel plotting against Paul,
right.
whether it's all these things, when it's actually the truth, everybody ain't singing and dancing and saying, yay, we want to do this.
Exactly.
When it's the truth, they like, get that joke out of here.
Exactly.
We don't want to hear what you got to say.
Exactly.
They don't line up with what we want.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing in these last days. So, again, when you look at own lust, that's own desire, or idiotic desire, this is what people do. So it's showing us the twofold thing that's going on here. You have prophecies or scriptures that's being taught according to private interpretation. Again, the word interpretation here is application. So it's the idiotic application, and then on the other hand, you're looking at an idiotic desire. So people are getting idiotic applications of scripture because they have an idiotic desire. And so they're getting what they're asking for. So the preacher gets in the scripture, and that's why they're having to study. Because you have to study to get a message when it's idiotic. That's why. That's why you have people a lot of times saying, "Look here, man, I gotta go sit down and get my sermon ready for Sunday." I don't get nothing ready. I just wait for the Spirit now to lead and guide on the direction that we're going. Now that's time we put things together, but the Spirit of Yah has already led and guide, and we will use notes and things like that because the Spirit of Yah is saying this is specifically what I want you to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But the majority of the time, people are studying the scriptures to get an idiotic revelation, to teach to people who have an idiotic lust, and to teach them 5 ways to get your man, 10 ways how to become a millionaire, 5 ways on how to love yourself, all kinds of stuff they're coming up with, idiotic revelation for idiotic desires. We're in the last days. Okay. Verse 4, as we get ready to close, 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. Let me close this one out. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4 says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, things that are not even true." Tales, fiction, myth. Okay. Through the ideas of tuition. I have this intuition that this is what the Lord is saying. I feel in my spirit that the Lord is saying that you're going to have a house in 3 days. That's what's going on. And people are showing up for those idiotic interpretations because they have idiotic desires. They have turned away from the truth. We are living in the days of the prophet. 2 Thessalonians 2. The great falling away, that's what it's called, the falling away. We're living the days of it now. Okay? Any questions or comments? Get some of the other finished. All right, y'all, so remember this, as from now on, when you're in the presence of someone who's teaching the scriptures, if they're not showing you precept upon precept, line upon line, you know, we're listening to idiots. I've been one before myself. I was following those same things and teaching things the same way. And Yah spoke to me one day and said, "I am not letting you go this way. I am doing something different with you. Do not move from this point on." And I did. And, I thank Yah that I did. Okay. We good? All right. Father Yah, we bless your name for today. We just thank you for another fact of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in truth. We need the presence of your Spirit to inspire us, to remind us whatsoever has been said in the scriptures. And we just thank you for giving us the wisdom enough to humble ourselves and to know that without you, we are nothing, and we don't have any understanding of anything that you've said. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right.